What do you think is going to stick? Anything register that perhaps hearing such a Christ-centered, destiny, mission-focused mindset, that which is so goal-oriented, so that we are not just time servers, but we're actually going through this life with a supreme destiny and goal, that is to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of Paul's words. He said, "No, my life, this is the end of his life." In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the very end of his life, he's on death row. He said, "My life is being poured out as a drink offering." He says, "I have fought," perfect tense, "I have fought, and my fighting is over. I have finished my course. I'm no longer pressing for the mark. I've kept the faith. I'm no longer fighting the good fight of faith." In other words, he's reached the goal. "Therefore, there's laid up for me the victor's wreath of righteousness." And what is righteousness? "Conformity to the revealed will of God through the word of God in thought, word, and deed." There's the victor's wreath of righteousness, whom the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me only, but to all those who have entered a state and condition of having loved his appearing, living in the expectation of our Lord's imminent return. So, any thoughts?
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark. Somewhere there towards the end, I was prompted to look at Deuteronomy 8. It's funny, my Bible just flat opened right up to it. I didn't even have to turn the pages. But it caught my eye as I'm looking at this, how the message to the church today, Deuteronomy, of course, was the second giving of the law, and so it's at the end of the time they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And Deuteronomy 8, beginning at 11, he says, "Beware, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today." Again, I'm thinking of Revelation 2 and 3 and the message to the church today and the time today. So he says, "Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied," this reminds me of Laodicea, "you've built good homes and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He led you," and Jamie was talking about this, "delivering us out of Egypt." Where do we end up? In the wilderness. "He led you through the great and terrible wilderness, with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. He made provision. In the wilderness, he fed you manna, which your fathers did not know. Why? That he might humble you and that he might test you." And I really like this phrase. He says, "to do good for you in the end." It isn't that we're doing good in the end, it's he's doing good. He does this, humbles us, he tests us. Why? So that he can do good for us in the end. "Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, and it is he who has given you power to make wealth." That's all through Jamie's presentation. It's not about what we have, it's what about God, what God has, and who he is. "That he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today, that you shall surely perish." He's talking to God's people. "Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God." So I thought that was a good parallel.
And of course, to bring that over to the New Testament, perish does not mean you lose your salvation.
Yes.
Where God cannot break covenant with us. We cannot lose salvation. But perish means
your life is cut short and you do not fulfill the very purpose for which you've been redeemed. So perish is the loss of life. So any other thoughts? Anything else come out listening to Jamie? Yes.
Well, I think in the beginning here you asked how God spoke to us or what might have been that which impacted us. I'm really aware in listening to him. If you think about how long did he speak? About an hour? Over an hour. It's all the word. All the word. No wasted words. And that was how it was Sunday too. I realized. Just like no frivolous, empty, hot air. No, even joking or whatever. It's like the word, the word, the word. And the application and encouragement and coming up higher. So, but, you know, just without going into it too deeply, I would say I'm left with saying how many of my thoughts are just wasted time. And how much of our discouragement, our being down, our whatever it is just flat out unbelief or not taking every thought captive. I mean, that's what I'm convicted of. It's like, we don't need to be giving any time to the lies of the evil one. We don't need to be giving any time to that which is not of eternal value.
Or our imagination.
Our imagination, yeah, yeah. And so, anyway, I just kind of like cleaning up some of the debris that happens daily. And even interaction here, talking about, well, what if? It's like, wait a minute. Yeah, there's so much good, so much beauty, so much truth that the Lord is to be occupied with. We really shouldn't take the time, waste our time, to think lesser thoughts and to play around, you know, with our imaginations. Because what I hear in Jamie is an absolute confidence in God. Confidence in who his God is and who our God is. You know, as we're memorizing Psalm 91, what is it? The third verse says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. But my God, this great and awesome God, creator of the universe, he's my God. Mine. He calls himself mine. We have total permission to think those thoughts of God and to live life, as Ruth Paxson's book says, on life on the highest plane. You know, even while still in the wilderness.
Yes.
Yeah, it's for me, it's just kind of listening to it. It's, I mean, granted, there's some things and so forth that he says, and the tone and the way he says and so forth, I have to kind of go beyond it on it, otherwise I can get hooked up on it just because of my background and what I've been through. But I was thinking of more about it, that when he talked about the desert, and I think that's probably in a way is how we appropriate that for each one of us here, and especially for the journeys that the numbers of the ladies have gone through, and like Diane, and then for me being right, well, I got married to it. And so I'm not sure if that's the right way to say it, but anyway.
Married into?
Into it. I was just thinking, you know, that's a desert that the Lord brought us through and is bringing us through and still bringing us through, no matter what stage we're at and wherever we're at in it, that it's just every aspect of it. And, you know, all the turmoil, all the pain, all the disappointment and everything, you know, and on all the questions and all the times of feeling that there was not righteousness and justice done here. It was anything but that. And yet to come to a place that in humility realize that that God was sovereign and good through it all. And just not if I'm going to add it, I alluded to that last night when we were together. And so it's the kind of thing for me, just to see that when we come to that place. And I don't know, it's probably, well, I kind of think I remembered even when we were lived in the house next to the church there in Eureka, and we started on this journey, and we were getting started on it, getting to the place, you know. And, you know, they kind of hearing kind of different reports. They said, yeah, you know, there's a number of people, they're really free, you know, like it's an event. But it somehow it seemed like, you know, even though we were just getting going, and it somehow the Lord embedded on me that I realized that this is not going to be an event. You guys will sit back and hang on and take on the ride, because you're in for, well, a lot more than I ever dreamed of. I guarantee you that. But somehow the Lord had already embedded into me that this is not going to be an event. This is going to be a journey. And it's still a journey. As we continue on, as we continue just the on building up in Christ, that journey that we're on and He has us on, and just building up trust and then how that even gets incorporated, you know, when we tell you, on our jobs, you know, some of the, you know, the jobs and some of the demands on the jobs, you know, that those, that's the desert that the Lord has us in for a purpose, and He's provided us with this for His provision. But along with that, He's still grooming us as to how we stay together with that. This job is just as much the Lord's as witnessing to the person next door to you, or however he uses to use your life and the life of others around you. And so that's something that for me just said, okay, Lord, I just needed that kind of revamping or thinking again. It's just kind of grabbing hold again. Stay on the journey. Keep going on it. As long as we're here in this life, we're going to be in the desert. But the day is coming, like He says, you know, either, you know, we're going to serve Him either through life or by death. We're on that journey, and we're going to keep on going. So.
Yeah, anything else? I appreciated his acologues to those 60-year-old ladies there. That are praying. Because we're just right in there, and I've always envisioned that picture of just putting on the full armor, you know. I'm like, all right, you know. And so, for me, this was very encouraging to see that, and that, you know, because we get so tired of the battle, because how many days we wake up this morning just as thick as a hornet's nest.
Well, it really was.
And just was like, all right, Lord, You have equipped us. What does Your word say? And we go to that, and we put on not Jesus Christ of the armor, and we just go there and go to battle. And that's the word it is in the trenches. And so talking with Rachel about, well, what's it like in Haiti? Is the tremendous atmosphere with the voodoo and the and all of that. It's like, oh my. Yeah, man, that talk about that. But that is outward, whereas we face it day in and day out, and it's not so obvious, except we are aware that Jesus Christ still has an enemy, and he's still at large, and he's still not been made a footstool under the feet of his church. And I'm so aware of that. I would love just to put up my sword and, you know, go take a vacation, but you tried. You went to shop. It just got worse, didn't it? And so it just doesn't seem to happen as long as there is his enemy, as long as there are people who remain dissociated, as long as God has still called us to his battle and his warfare, there that's always going to be there. I mean, it's just going to be there until that last person is set free for his glory, I think, whether through dissociation, completely integrated, completely dissociated, completely come through, or the last Gentile, the last person that has accepted Christ. So I think that's, so for me, I think this was encouraging to say, all right, it's not the time then to be complacent and to want to give up. Yeah, I want to give up, you know, and to retire or do whatever. It's like, well, you know, I was looking at him and I thought, well, yeah, he's young and he's got a lot of energy. It's kind of an advantage there for some of us, I think, that we have been in the battle for so long. I love Addie's example. I think on Sunday, of the ones that or whenever it was, the ones that were called to do the battle in the early, in the beginning, and bear the heat of the day for those who come at the very end. And our reward and our Lord is so marvelous that he gave the same reward. I know that you mean it's, you can, that'll open up a whole door right there, but there, you know, he's got a different reward, but it's you know, the attitude of those who've borne the heat like you guys have had so much for us is to be like, wow, it's a privilege and honor to pave the way, like Hebrews 11, and to have that faith that Jesus Christ will return. And so what is my place? What is my role? Yes, Lord, it's a privilege every day to get up and be in your armor and take up the sword of the Spirit and fight again. No matter what you called me to do, like Joshua, all right, well, go into the land. All right, Lord, am I ready? And that's something I've always prayed, Lord. Am I ready? I want to be ready. At any time you say, go. All right, I want to go. And that's it. Without any question. My favorite thing is to always argue. Doug doesn't know anything about that. But but is that I don't argue then. And I say, yes, Lord, I'm going.
I did want to mention too that when you talked about the 60-year-olds, I'm a little past that, and so is my wife. But I was just huh?
I'm not yet.
You're not past 60?
Oh yeah, I'm in my 60s. I'm not past the 60s.
That's real important.
I'm past 60. Everybody's in 70.
No, but just what I want to say is just, you know, when he talked about, you know, so the women not even knowing sometimes that they're going through what they do and their prayers and their concerns and so forth and how they're there. And I have to look back and realize, you know, to look, you know, I was one of those men, you know, that had to be prayed for and still has to. Don't stop. Yeah. But I just want to give the Lord and bless the Lord. He's had a blessing to my wife, what she's done to stick through this, that thick and thin. Because I remember when we got started on this journey. So yes, there was mixture there in the start. We know that, and there was, you know, there was that was pounding on me that I didn't even realize that I was being pounded on till we got to more stuff. But I have to think back, you know, back and see. I think probably when Benita was just the baby when we were living in up in International Falls, Minnesota, and we started going to a secular counseling and on it because of what was going on in the church that we were at, and things were kind of evil. But they had us go through, I don't know how many, it was pages of it, of questions and answers you had to put on there. Of course, me, I hate that stuff. But we went through that, and she went through hers, and then they analyzed it, and then they come back. We come back for it for their report, and he told us. He said, you know, by that time we were married. What? How many years? About 6 or 7.
Oh my!
Or maybe more than that. No, you would have been older than that.
Yeah, probably 16 years.
About 16 years. Okay.
How long have you been married now?
40-something.
48.
Okay. I can figure out. I do remember the year we were married.
Okay.
I still remember that yet, so I can go from there eventually. But he looked at that, and he looked at us, and he said, I have never seen a couple last more than 6 months to a year that are so opposite that you two are. And, so when I look at that and think of that, and you know, so then of course, our growing up, divorce wasn't an option anyway. You know, at that point, you know, I mean, they were still there. You know, that was, you know, but it was just the Lord, and it's the grace of the Lord that we're still hanging out. And
I just want
to thank the Lord and bless the Lord that, and through my wife to hang in there for all those years. And through the 4 daughters, and it is true, when it comes to spiritual aspects of it and so forth, and they're growing up, you know, I wasn't there like she was. And I wasn't even there like some other men have been with their families growing up. There are various aspects that I was a part of their lives, and tried to be a part of their lives in a way that I was, that my growing up wasn't there, and so I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to really be active in that. And but it's just the on growing up, and it's just, and I just want to thank the Lord just for my wife going through what she did, and holding fast to the Lord, and then with our daughters, you know, and then where they're at yet, you know, there's still the hurt, there's still the pain at times, and that we go through, but it's the grace of the Lord that it is true that my wife, I look at her that she's been a true warrior, mm-hmm. And I just want to.
That
praise
the Lord
for that.
Yes.
Even
when
I had all that mixture.
Yes.
But there's still a heart there through all the clutter.
Yeah.
You're still something that was enduring and pressing forward.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyone else?
All I can think of is saturation in Christ. Love the focus on the person of Christ, mm-hmm. Not the teachings of, mm-hmm. Although that's a part of it, the truth. But He is truth. Mm-hmm. He the person. And I really feel that's what God's doing with Ivan and I this last year and a half. It's just more and more relational. Mm-hmm. Not just us together, but in Christ. Just who we are in Him. Because it can look pretty hopeless, you know, in the world around us and everything. But I just love his emphasis on Christ.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I just want to also echo, you know, think about the journey that Laura and I have had and the ongoing travail that she has for me. Just the bouts of spiritual death, they can be quite immense. And just, you know, even since Easter all the way up till even today, before we met tonight, the darkness was so thick that I'm in there, I'm reading through E.M. Bounds' Power Through Prayer. And I started reading it a while back, and it's only 60 pages, but I'm reading it again, and it's speaking to preachers. who you are, the message
that you represent cannot be beyond what you are as a message. And just the emphasis on what prayer is, and just the wonderful way in which he cites, you know, the saints of old. But I see that with Lori, and I see, you know, how I can, in my mind, can go in places, and she'll just rebuke me. Where's that in the Word? You know, where do you find that? You know, what's the truth? You know, I say, okay, I'm always grateful, you know, that she's that way. And so this is still thinking, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to call the guys that we need to pray before tonight. And so other things going on that we need to cover. And so we did. We just spent time in prayer, maybe it's 45 minutes or so, and we asked the Lord to do whatever he needs to do so this time is covered and that it's off limits. This is the Lord's time. The enemy cannot have access. He cannot project. This is the Lord's time. So we do that quite regularly. So yes, Lord, I'm very grateful for the wonderful and faithful and enduring wife that that he's given me, Lori, and the commitment of truth and the way you are just devoted to that which is seeking the Lord and giving him his rightful place in your life. And it's really kind of amazing to see, as you've been reading through Quiet Talks with Jesus, I think it's S.D. Gordon. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago, starting on page 72 and reading on. But if you go back and read it all the way through from the beginning to the end, wow. it's really worth it. So you, the saints that are listening to this, Quiet Talks with Jesus. Quiet Talks About Jesus. Is that what it is? It's really unique. It's very powerful. And I see the effect it has on Lori. She is silenced, humbled, and worshiping. Just continual being brought deeper into the Lord. So it's really important to recognize that scriptures like Philippians 3:7 through 17, where Paul is the example of one who's running the race, the one who is pressing for the mark, who is suffered the loss of all things that I might gain Christ, that I might come to know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings by being conformed to his death, in order that I might attain a moral and spiritual resurrection from the dead. And not that I've already attained that, but I press on that I may lay hold and apprehend that which Jesus Christ apprehended me. So I press for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And those who have this standard, keep walking in this. And the Lord will reveal otherwise. And then he says, mark those that have us as an example. Mark, that's the King James. Scope out, fix your attention on those that have us as an example, and follow them. So you say, well, it's all about just following the Lord. The Bible says there needs to be those that are out ahead of us, so we can see what these examples are. Mark them and follow them. It says, Philippians 3:17. Follow them that have us, the Apostle Paul, as an example. So that's what we do. As we're in the Word, we also look at those that are examples that have gone way ahead in their spiritual life. So I'm very grateful for, you know, Jamie's a young man that God's raised up. If you have not heard his testimony, it's 2 hours. I sent it out the other day. It was absolutely, can I use the word, blow your mind. When the Lord got a hold of him, a radical surrender to the Lord. Like, I've just not seen anything like it. So, where the Lord led him to where he is today. So, anyway, his testimony is quite invigorating. My son wrote, I said, Mark, you really need to listen to this. And he's now turned 50, 51. He said, Dad, I don't know that I would have anything to say if I was in his presence. I said, I just, you know, the brokenness that he's experienced, his wife left him after all these years, 2 children, and just the brokenness. But to see the humility and how, the, you know, Jamie's testimony, has really, really dug deep in his life. So it's amazing to see when you hear someone saturated in the Word and with the Lord like this. What it does is it kind of draws out a kind of a picture where we're not, and say, okay, we need to move up higher and in areas of our life. And so for me, when I come away from this, and of course I finish S.D. Gordon's reading, and I'm reading In Bounds now, is really pursue, and he talked about that, very few will pay the price, quiet intimacy with the Lord. And see, I really like to sleep in, because the Lord wakes me up and I have to pray. I go into prayer listening sometimes for hours. I'm really tired. But to have a disciplined time, S.D. Gordon talks about a disciplined time in the old book. And meeting the Lord in the book. And doing studying. And, you know, I'm 76 years old now, and nothing about studying is an appeal to me. It is a discipline. And so he really emphasizes on pursuing that intimacy with the Lord. And another thing he brought out that I think is important that we remember, it's not how big our faith is, it's the bigness of the object of our faith. We can have just a little flicker of a faith, or this massive faith, like David facing Goliath, the object's the same. If we have just a little bit of faith, okay, I'm out there on the battlefield, there's Goliath, but I'm going to run anyway. And David says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And he runs to the giant. Somebody's kind of tremulously doing, the same faith is going to draw forth the same greatness of God. So I thought that was a good reminder. So, yeah, so God is faithful. And very grateful for him raising up people that are committed to evangelize the church. You know, he says he's called to enter into the, like Major Ian Thomas, he traveled all over the world. He said, what was his mission? Well, my job, if you want to know what I do, I go into the churches week in and week out, raising the dead. You talk about believers, raising dead believers. So I just want to comment one thing on the wilderness, Psalm 38, Psalm 105, Psalm 106, really Psalm 70 is really big on that. But I led you in the wilderness so that you might know what was in your heart. But the Hebrew says, I led you through the wilderness and I tested you so that I might cause you to know what is in your heart. It's a causative voice. So the wilderness is not meant for the whole journey. Joshua and Caleb graduated from the wilderness. They crossed over the Jordan and they entered into the promised land. For us, that's the fullness of Christ. Christ is our Canaan. And so we see in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through chapter 4, verse 13, is that those who have believed enter into his rest. And those who have entered his rest have ceased from their works and entered into his rest. And so Jesus is the Canaan, the Sabbath rest of God, as we see in the book of Hebrews. So anyway, we'll say amen to that. Anything else? So we just thank you, Lord, for this time of you meeting with us and this time in your word and being hearing your word and seeing someone who is devoted and has decided to pick up his cross and deny himself and to follow Jesus. We thank you for Jamie and all those that are committed to living the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name.